You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Hi, Ben. How you going?
Hi.
I mean, I'm a friend to myself there. Of course, you've been a professional broadcaster. Just broadcasters hanging out with broadcasters, really, isn't it, here at BFM?
Hi. Hello, Mikey.
Welcome to Viewmaster, brought to you by Neon. And with us currently, we have our resident film expert, Ben or Benjamin Zambo.
Am I the resident film expert?
Yep. Yeah, you are.
It's on you. It's on you, Ben. It's on you.
Usually, on your Saturday. But yes. Now on your weekday. And Mike's incredibly happy. He's put a mask on. He's that happy. I'm not lying.
It's a good mask. Listen to how unfazed Ben is. Professional broadcaster, right?
Yeah.
I really tried to get him with this mask, and you're just, I mean, I don't know if you're just terrified out of your mind or just, no, it was pretty cool.
I was just saying them. It reminded me of a bad shirt I got when I was little. She's a baby covered with piercings.
But they were actual piercings.
Did it say bub?
The fabric of the
did it
shirt.
Say bub life on it?
It didn't say anything. It's just a baby with a bandana.
Do you reckon terrifying clothes is a segue into the thing you watched or not really?
You'd think so with the name. You'd think with the name Nocturnal Animals.
And that also it would be the director, producer, and screenplay writer, who is
Tom Ford.
Oh.
Yeah, that Tom Ford.
Yeah, not as in scary Tom Ford, but as in just super talented. Why don't you just be great at everything you do? You sharp dressed, snazzy cat.
I know.
Yes, he did a good movie a couple of years ago, A Single Man, Colin.
It's Spurs. A great movie, eh? I love that movie. That's a really sensational movie.
I think this is his next movie. I think this is.
This is Tom Ford. Tom Ford's a fashion designer, isn't he? Or what? I mean, he's more than he's even. He sort of got into fashion design after. He was already cool before that, wasn't he?
He was. He was the.
Hate people like that.
Yeah. Head of house at Gucci, head of house at Yves Saint Laurent, and then his own name, just Tom Ford putting out parfum and clothes.
Makes some badass perfume.
Woo! He does. Does he make a badass movie, Ben?
When we talk about A Single Man, that went very well, didn't it? As a movie?
Yeah.
So to come out and have another crack at it, brave.
It's an interesting movie. It's kind of a story within a story, if you kind of... It's kind of like Princess Bride, I thought.
But oh, for God's sake!
A Princess Bride for adults.
Because it is based on a book, yeah. So is it somebody telling a narrative and then it's kind of acted out as well?
Yeah, well, it's in the story.
I wasn't expecting you to say that, Ben, just then.
Well, Amy Adams is like a high society gallery owner in Los Angeles. And she gets a manuscript from her ex-husband of 20 years ago called Nocturnal Animals. And the movie's kind of her reading this manuscript intercut with her life and her memories of dating this guy who she didn't really support well and marriage ended badly.
And this guy's played by Jake Gyllenhaal, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. He's, and he's also in... He's in the story... within the story as well, playing the protagonist of the novel that Amy Adams is reading, in which there is a horrible crime committed by some backwater hillbillies.
See, that's it sounds like a very well tailored story.
I see what you did there.
Yeah, thank you.
Mm-hmm. There's a beautiful fragrance.
Really, a really beautiful smelling film. As you're describing that, I was thinking, okay, if you're pitching that to, if I had a whole lot of money, I was just going to chuck into a movie. You're pitching that, it sounds, was it a novel first? Does anyone know that?
Yeah, it from the early 90s, it was a novel. And I think it's pretty faithful to that. I just read the synopsis on Wikipedia. But it seems like it's pretty much the novel. But it's a cool movie. It kind of has three threads, I guess, between like modern day, the past, and the fictional world. And they are Tom Ford like spends a lot of time pulling up little, I suppose, similarities between these the three intercutting stories. You know, he does a lot of visual ways of
very careful intercutting, to be snappy with his shots, isn't he?
Because you're a cinematographer yourself, so how does he...
Very talented cinematographer too, I must say.
How does he use the kind of technical aspects? Because I guess he is aesthetically minded. What kind of technical wizardry is he using to kind of, as you say, weave these threads together?
Well, it's a gorgeous movie, yeah. And he does a lot of match cuts in between.
A what?
You know, if you just have a frame and then you cut to another frame that complements it, juxtaposes it, or aligns with it. That's like a match cut.
That's telling a story.
Correct.
He does a lot of visual play on the screen, which is really interesting to watch. And the particularly Amy Adams segments in the high society world, it's like really over the top, ridiculous fashion, you know, laughable out loud. It's kind of hard to tell whether he's taking the. I think he is taking the piss.
I haven't watched the whole film. I started watching it, and then that part of it got me a bit sort of just it was a bit much for me. I wasn't mentally. You know, sometimes you got to be in the right zone in that, you know. But I just started. It's like, oh, I'm not ready for this fashion show. Shit, Jesus Christ, you know, being cool in that. I'm intrigued. I should have sat through it. I should have battled through it and seen how in the end it would have favoured the story.
I remember when it played in the film festival, some people were saying it was a bit of a plod. Is it just kind of beautiful and slow moving?
No, well,
nothing wrong with that.
It's interesting that you say you kind of weren't in the right mood for it, because it is a movie that shifts between a lot of different moods.
The shoulder shimmy you did with that when you said shifts different.
Yes, I visually shifted to show the shift between the different stories. Right. Yeah. The story she reads is a horrific, absolutely. There is murder and
murder, murder.
Yeah, and it's the story of it's like a revenge story. It's like pretty gruesome.
Sounds like TV on the da-da-da's.
Yeah, and it's like a really big contrast to like the relationship drama and like almost like the farcical high society, all these different stories coming together. And sometimes it works, sometimes I'm
just
not
call
so
it
sure.
Just call it, Ben, just call it. Sometimes it works, sometimes.
Well, you know, it's like very hard to
You got a couple of notes, Mr. Ford? Yep.
It's very hard to make an executive decision whether it's like, oh, this was good or this is bad. But he's
quite all about that, isn't he? He's quite all about making sure that it looks the way he wants it to look and comes across the way he wants it to come across.
Yeah, it's his vision. It's a statement movie. And you can't really criticize him for particularly with the ending where there's some things that don't happen.
No spoilers.
Yeah, some things that happen, some things that don't happen, and you're like, oh, it was A, but I wanted B. And it's like,
right. Oh, this is the story of my life.
And it's like, you can't, you know, that was his intention.
Right.
Maybe. It might have been his intention to provoke those feelings.
Leading you up with an anticipation and then kind of taking it away from you.
Did you, when you were watching it, did it make you want to tidy your house? When I was a single man, I was so embarrassed about the state of my house. I thought, well, you're so heterosexual and single.
Colin Firth can, you know, he appeals to a lot of people.
Doesn't appeal to me so much.
A strata of people. I'm on that train. Also, amazing cast in this film. As you were saying, we got Amy Adams, we got Jake Gyllenhaal, Michael Shannon, who is always amazing in whatever he's in.
Who's Michael Shannon? Who's he? What's he in?
Michael Shannon? And we got Armie Hammer, Laura Linney, Michael Sheen, who's always quite weird and everything.
He's in one scene and he's great.
He's in one scene.
Michael Sheen, just get him in, put him in one scene.
Isla Fisher, who we'll all remember in this country from Home and Away.
She's in one scene and she's great.
She's married to old Sacha Baron Cohen.
Yeah, that's right.
Aaron Taylor-Johnson is great as a really against type kind of Texas hillbilly. Horrible person, and he does a convincing accent in my eyes. I thought they all did good Texas accents.
Okay, that's right, because he's British. He played John Lennon in Nowhere Boy.
Did he?
Yeah, he played a very young John Lennon.
Is that what did John Lennon look like that when he was young?
I don't know. I think they just found a good actor. I think he came through theatre and Shakespeare and whatnot, which is always a good sign.
I mean, when you see the early Beatles, they all look a bit goofy. And
like, are you saying he's like amazing? Johnson looks goofy?
No,
I'm saying
Ben,
he looks
hey,
far
Ben,
too
hey,
good
Ben, hey,
to
Ben.
Be playing John Lennon.
You can't all be blessed with stunning good looks. So, I mean, you know, some of these actors, they act from their soul, you know?
Just want to know what like a 25-year-old John Lennon looked with a beard, I suppose.
That's a dream you have?
It's a dream you have.
Well, that's one of the dreams you have.
When it was at the film festival, you heard really mixed reports. People either absolutely adored it and thought it was sumptuous and beautiful, and as you were saying, those the weaving of the three narratives, or people were just like, nah.
I wouldn't say it's boring.
Is it different enough that you'd recommend somebody on a night just whack it on Neon and Hammerhoon?
Yeah, I mean, you might have a good time. I had a good enough time. My mum liked it.
There you go. That's it. How's that?
My mum liked it, so there you go.
All right.
Ben, I would have thought that was a movie you'd sit down with your mum and watch, actually. Thank you, Ben. Thank you for coming in.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.